Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Macy Kaplan. Macy Kaplan is the co-founder of LooseEnds.org, which we're going to learn all about today. LooseEnds aims to ease grief, create community, and inspire generosity by matching volunteer handwork finishers with projects people have left undone due to death or disability. Welcome, Macy Kaplan.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And for our audience, you can find out more about Macy Kaplan and LooseEnds at their wonderful website, looseends.org. So Macy Kaplan, first of all, will you explain for our audience what exactly is LooseEnds? And we've got a global audience, so how can people all over the world participate?
Sure. So LooseEnds, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And we match volunteer handwork finishers. So people who do any kind of textile handwork, including knitting, crochet, quilting, weaving, all anything basically made of string. We match people who are skilled in those crafts with individuals or families who have lost a loved one who was a crafter. So if their loved one left behind an unfinished project, we can match almost anyone with a finisher for that project who lives most of the time nearby. We've been around for about 3.5 years. And in that time we've grown, our finisher base has grown large enough so that we can almost always match people who live near each other. And then the finishers finish up the handwork project and deliver it back to the family or the person it was being made for. That's it in a nutshell.
Lovely. And what countries do you operate in?
So we are based in the United States, but our technology allows us to match finishers from anywhere in the world. So really anywhere. We have finishers registered from more than 85 different countries right now, and we have projects going or have finished projects in 14 or 15 different countries so far, but we have the capacity to match people from anywhere.
Now, Macy Kaplan, you are the co-founder of LooseEnds. How did LooseEnds begin?
So LooseEnds began, the idea for LooseEnds was brewing for a couple of years before it actually launched. I was on the West Coast with friends at a kind of a college reunion type thing. And I was visiting with a whole bunch of people, but included was my friend Jen Simonic, who is a co-founder of LooseEnds as well. And we were visiting a friend of ours, a mutual friend, who had recently lost her mom, and our friend Patty. And she asked if we would be willing to help go through her mom's things. And when we did so, we were helping just kind of organize what to donate, what to keep. And in the big bag, we found two blankets that had been begun by our friend Patty's mom for her brothers. And Jen and I were each about to offer to crochet one each for the brothers. And it was kind of in that moment that we decided it might be a nice time to pilot the idea of LooseEnds right there and see if our friend Patty would be willing to offer those two blankets for the pilot. And she said yes. And so that was it. We kind of left that weekend, built a website, built a way for people to submit projects, built a way for finishers to sign up. And before too long, we had a couple of people willing to work on Patty's blankets for her. And that's it. We were off to the races right away, just trying the concept out. And at the same time, we were, my friend Annie here in Maine had two little sweaters that her deceased mom had left behind. And so we kind of used those four projects to kind of practice on our friends. Our friends said yes. And that was it. We kind of used those four projects first and learned what we could learn on how it would go and what people wanted and what the snafus could be. And that was the beginning. Those were the humble beginnings. And we, created flyers and marched around hanging them up at yarn shops and fabric shops and libraries and senior living facilities. And it was very grassrootsy in the beginning. Still kind of is grassrootsy.
Now, what sort of problems does Loose Ends exist to solve?
Well, I'm a knitter. I'm a beginning quilter also. And I think that whenever someone is crafting, whenever someone is making something with their hands for someone else, our intention is for them to enjoy that thing and feel loved when they wear it. And when a crafter dies and their project isn't yet finished, a lot of times those wind up in a bag or in a box, in an attic, in a closet. And the person who it was intended for does not get to wear it or put it on their bed or put it up and see it. And I think that the problem we're solving is sort of twofold. It's allowing a person to experience what was intended for them. Something that someone they loved or cared about's hands were all over that they were making for them. So that's one, is kind of finishing something so that it doesn't just languish in a box somewhere. And the other thing, which was kind of an unintended or not unintended, but a nice outcome that we were hoping for but weren't sure about, is creating these kind of connections between strangers. And it was coming off of the heels of the pandemic when everyone was very lonely and isolated and unsure about what to do with themselves when we were finally allowed to reconnect. And so one of the problems that this solves is kind of a connection, you know, like a remembering that someone, that there are people out there that care about us, you know, that maybe don't even know you, but are willing to step out of their own lives for a little while and give time to a stranger. And so that's kind of a bigger the more concrete problem it's solving is, here is a thing that was meant for you and it wasn't finished and now it is, right? And then there's just kind of the more intangible problem that it's solving, which is maybe about loneliness or about reconnection and service, which, as we all know, service to others feels good to yourself as well. And so we love that we're kind of giving people a way to give to each other.
That's beautiful. Now, you mentioned that you started out with four projects from two different friends. So the families who received the completed object, the completed handiwork, What are some of the stories that you have heard about what it means for people to have the scarf or the quilt that was meant for them that their loved one wasn't able to finish while they were alive?
When you're making something with your hands, you're touching every inch of it. Whether you're knitting, every inch of that yarn's going through your fingers, right? Every bit of that quilt is being pushed through a sewing machine or hand stitched with your own hands. And so, in a very tangible way, the DNA of their loved one is all over that for them, right? So what we have heard is when you get a project back that was being touched by your loved one, it feels, many people are very moved by that in that moment. People say it feels like they're being hugged by their loved one. It feels like a, it just, it feels like having a little bit of them back and a little bit of their wishes fulfilled, which can relieve some stress too, while people are trying to take care of, loose ends, for lack of a better word, when after a loved one passes away. So I think that that is overwhelmingly the feedback we've gotten is that people feel comforted by having this. And then there's the secondary gift of having had a stranger just step in and sometimes do hundreds of hours of work for them.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're literally tying up the loose ends of grief.
Well, we hope that we can help ease some of the grief. I know that grief doesn't go away, but it can feel good. It can feel good to have that peace back, or to, and also to have a stranger care about you.
And the volunteers who come to Loose Ends to finish projects for people who've lost their loved ones, what sort of benefits have your volunteers shared with you about how they have felt completing these projects?
Yeah, so I mean, it's different for everyone, but I will say that right now, more than 36,000 people have signed up to be volunteers with us.
It's crazy.
It's a lot, and it's a testament to how caring the crafting community really is, and how much they want to help, right? A lot because there are so many people who have signed up, but there are, have only been maybe between 4,000 and 5,000 projects. That means that there are a lot of volunteer finishers who are waiting for something to do, right? They're waiting. They're not necessarily matching. We're not able to match them right away, and maybe many will never get a project. So they're waiting in the wings, and we like to laugh and say with varying degrees of patience, right? So some people, some of the finishers are say, I'm here if you ever need me. And if you don't, that's okay, but just we're here. Some people are very anxious to get a project because they really want to engage with someone in this way. Once a project is finished by a finisher and they give it back, we have heard that finishers feel very connected to often say they feel very connected to the original crafter who's no longer here. They feel really good to be able to, I mean, it feels good to make somebody else feel good, right? So they get to do that. We've heard that a lot of people like to feel like they're kind of in a relationship with the original crafter who's no longer here. Just they feel like they're their hands to be able to finish the work for them. We've heard that people like to sometimes talk to them and introduce themselves, ask permission, and they're just kind of the they're the hands to kind of get the original crafter's wishes from point A to point B. So, there have certainly been some cases where finishers have felt, that it was just fine, or, you know, but overwhelmingly our finishers are very happy with the experience, which makes us happy.
So as a medical intuitive healer, one of the things that I will say is that your hands are an extension of your heart. And whatever you make with your hands, whether it's knitting a sweater or quilting a quilt or kneading bread or making food for your family, whatever you make with your hands is literally an extension of your heart and your own heart energy. So it's a great way when we use our hands to share love with others, whatever we create.
Yes, I often equate this with cooking for someone too. I agree. We make food for each other. That's how we express love, right? Woodworkers. Yeah. Crafters.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. And we're listening today to Macy Kaplan, the co-founder of looseends.org. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Macy Kaplan, as you know, there's so many aspects to the grieving process. And one aspect after our loved one has passed away is going through their belongings. And so when families find unfinished handiwork projects, what type of projects actually qualify to be finished by a loose end volunteer?
Yeah, so we will match finishers to, we'll try, our default is to try to say yes. we will match projects as long as they were handmade, as long as someone started them, you know, and any textile project. So anything that has been made with string, we like to say, so rugs, sweaters, blankets, lots of needlepoint embroidery. We've moved whole looms across cities to places where people could weave on looms, rug hooking, any kind of textile project. Most of the, we like to say that it needs to have been begun, but we actually have, if we have a finisher who's willing to make something from scratch, as long as the materials have already been purchased and the intention was there. So if someone, sometimes we'll hear someone went out with their mom and they bought all the yarn and they picked out the sweater and something happened before it was started, but it feels like, yes, this was supposed to be for you. We will try to match that. We will do larger and smaller quilt projects. You know, sometimes quilts can take upwards of 800 hours, you know, especially if they're done by hand. Sometimes projects are just way too big for one person. And in those cases, we've started experimenting with putting together groups of people to do them together. And that's been really fun this past year. I think we did three of those where maybe a dozen people would get together and work on a quilt together, or crochet doily type stuff, that stuff that takes a long, long time. And it's, you know, just time consuming and lots of work. We'll put teams together for those. So did that answer?
Yes. So yeah. If a family member is listening to this broadcast, how would they reach out to you and say, my mother, my aunt, my sister, or my brother or father started something and we want help?
Yeah. So it's a pretty simple process. People can just visit looseends.org. There's a button there that says submit a project. Just click on that button. And it will take you to our app, where you'll set up an account and answer some questions about your project. We ask for, not everybody who has a project knows what they have, right? Sometimes it's confusing, especially if you don't do that. You know, most of the time the person submitting it doesn't do that craft themselves, so they may not know, and that's okay. So we just ask for you to tell us to the best of your ability what you think you have. We ask for some information about the person who started it, and pictures. We need pictures of the front and the back usually, and of what you have left over and materials, and what you, if you have a pattern left behind, which we like to see. And we offer, but don't require, a picture of the original crafter if people want to submit that. And the other thing to keep in mind is we will finish projects if someone is just no longer able to because of illness or a disability. A lot of projects are submitted from clients who are experiencing dementia, or their eyesight is failing, or they have, their hands don't work the way they used to. And that's fine too. We'll match those folks to finishers as well. So it isn't just for people who are no longer with us.
Sounds very rewarding. Now, who are the people on each side of a loose ends match? Both the families, who are the families that you've worked with, and who are the volunteer finishers, and what motivates them?
Well, I mean, so who are the people who submit projects? They are anyone. I mean, everyone. We are not, we accept projects from anyone who has a project. We do not look at any kind of demographics at all. We just say, if you have a project and you want it done, submit it, right? Likewise with finishers, anyone can sign up to become a finisher. We do not look at politics. We do not look at religion. We do not look at any kind of socioeconomic information or anything. We just care about if you have a project you want finished and if you want to finish a project. And that's how we make the matches. We usually start within a geographic region, looking at who lives within driving distance from this project. A lot of times people are able to meet in person and get to know each other personally, which has been very rewarding for people. And it also means that projects don't need to go into the mail system, which can be harrowing, because these projects are not replaceable. They're not, they're precious. And when people can meet in a library or in a cafe and get to know each other and exchange the project in person, it's even more meaningful. We hear a lot of times that people have become friends after, and they're going to keep meeting up. And actually one fun thing is, we've actually heard from project owners who have submitted projects. They don't know how to do the craft, but they want to try to do it themselves, but they have no idea how to do it. And there have been cases where we've had finishers teach project owners how to knit, how to do Tunisian crochet, right? So that they can work on it together, or so that the person who submitted it can do it themselves, but with a support. So that's kind of been the perk of this, this wealth of finishers, means that we can make these tiny connections happen close in neighborhoods.
That's just beautiful. Mm. Now, Macy Kaplan, can you walk us through a project from start to finish, from intake to the moment it's returned to the family?
Sure. It actually is. We do a lot of. We consider ourselves the matchmakers, but we are also kind of the stewards throughout and solving problems throughout. So, if someone were to have a project that they wanted finished, they would visit looseends.org, submit the projects, answer all those questions I mentioned earlier, give us the pictures, and then, there's a little bit of a wait because we are a very small team. Like it looks like Loose Ends is a huge organization, and we are in some ways, but behind the scenes right now, we are right now two people, you're like doing the majority of the work, plus amazing teams of volunteers who like are helping in other ways other than finishers. But we're small. And so it can take a little bit of time. It can take a couple of weeks before a project is matched. A lot of times that is because we are offering a project to a finisher. We go into our app. Our app allows us to identify finishers of a specific skill levels in a specific craft within a specific radius of the submission. So we will identify the finisher. We will ask them in an email, does this look like something you would like to do? And they say yes or no. And if they say no, we go again and try another match. If they say yes, after filling out some waiver saying that they promise to stay in touch and communicate, we make that introduction. So we basically write in an email to both parties, introducing them to each other. And at that point, they kind of take it from there. We step back and we let them make arrangements to meet up and exchange the project. We ask that the finisher who takes the responsibility on gets in touch every 3 to 4 weeks with an update. We do not put any time pressure on finishers. They can take their time as long as they're communicative and they can sometimes it's as a thumb on a mitten that takes a half an hour. Sometimes it's 800 hours of hand stitching a quilt and it can take a couple of years. So it is going to be what it is. We don't dictate how long it takes. And then when it's finished, the two parties, as long as they're close by each other, will meet back up and usually in person and exchange the project back. We don't require pictures, but we ask for people to take pictures together if they will. And that's it. We follow up with a survey to see how it went. I mean, that's kind of it's simple, but
Now, Macy Kaplan, you mentioned that you are a knitter and a beginner quilter. Here we are at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, where I interview master healers from all over the world about their techniques and what they do. So I want to interject a personal story. So about 16 years ago now, 15, 16 years ago, I went through a divorce. And during the time, I coped with the stress of my divorce by knitting. And I joked it was either knitting or alcohol. And I chose knitting. So, to give you an example of how much I knitted, I'm also a yoga teacher. I've taught yoga now for 32 years. 1 month, I knitted yoga scarves for everyone in my yoga class. So I knitted like 16 scarves in a month. So we're talking a lot of knitting. And I remember at the time, I was really curious, like, why is this helping me? Like I said, knitting or alcohol, and I chose knitting. And one of the things that I learned is that when you do things by hand, you release oxytocin, which is a hormone in the brain, and we release oxytocin also when you give somebody a hug, when you give or receive hugs, also during sexual activity. And also by talking, when women talk, we release oxytocin. But the hormone oxytocin is kind of like hormonal or energetic glue, in that it helps you feel connected. So, and also, whenever you're doing using both hands, such as you do when you're knitting, you're activating both sides of the brain. And when we're stressed, the non-dominant side of your brain is 75 to 85% shut down. So for myself, I started natural healing. My first 10 years in natural healing was learning all about how to heal the brain. And just like you're either right-handed or left-handed, everyone has a dominant brain hemisphere. So if you're right brain dominant, when you're stressed, the left hemisphere shuts down. Or if you're left brain dominant, the right hemisphere shuts down. Either way, when you're only using half your brain, the emotional symptoms are typically depression and/or anxiety. So, Macy Kaplan, you're a knitter and a quilter. From your experience, and as the co-founder of Loose Ends, why are handicrafts so healing for the people who do the activity?
I cannot claim to be an expert in that, but I can tell you from my own experience, when I'm knitting or when I'm hand stitching, there is something in the middle of my body that settles and feels just feels calm and like right? It's almost like my brain turns off, my hands go, and it's like it feels like meditation to me. And whenever I am stressed out, I need to knit. It's not a pastime for me. It's not a hobby. It's literally feels to me like breathing air. Like I have my hands have to do that. More recently, I've started quilting, and I can say that sewing with a sewing machine doesn't feel the same way. It's that's different, but sitting and sewing, hand stitching does feel that way. It's I don't know what it is. I think generations and generations and generations before us have all done this, and I think it's baked into our DNA. Also, the midline crossing activity you mentioned is real too. So that is it is calming, it feels good. There's the secondary benefit of making something for someone that you love that feels good too, but that's in a selfish way, just the act of stitching. Even if the product didn't go anywhere, right? Even if you didn't give it away, or even if you gave it to stranger or it yourself, the actual motion of stitching is very, very healing, and feels, man, I think if everybody did it, I think the world would be a much more peaceful place. I really do.
I totally agree. So again, so when you're using both hands, you're activating both sides of your brain. So you're actually integrating the right and left hemisphere. So you're using more of your full brain. And so when you're in the right hemisphere, you're seeing the big picture, you're in your emotions. When you're in the left hemisphere, you're in the details, which we all need. But really, you need your whole brain. So when you're knitting, crocheting, quilting, and you're using your whole brain, then I think it really allows you to process your emotions. I'm the author of 10 books, and I've worked with a writing coach, Tom Bird. And Tom Bird, he has you, when you start writing a book, he wants you to write by hand. And he says there's a very big difference between writing by hand with a pen or a pencil and writing on the computer. And he says when you really want to get into the emotions of something, you want to work with your hands. And it's a totally different experience. And as you said, when you stitch by hand, that's different than using a machine.
Yeah, I can totally see that relationship. I'm a big fan of handwriting. I still write all my notes by hand. Even if I don't ever look at them again, it is, you're right. It's like when your hands are moving, I'm not a scientist, so I can't speak to that, but it does feel like when you're handwriting, it makes me remember everything much, much better than just typing, for sure. Yeah.
And again, as a medical intuitive healer, again, I know that when you're working with your hands, you're literally expressing through your heart. Mm-hmm. So also during this time when I was obsessively knitting in order to get through the stress of a divorce, I remember reading about knitting and the brain. And what I found at the time, I was so stressed, I could only do the simplest patterns, like knit one, purl one. And I would see these very elaborate projects where you'd have to count and do all this stuff. And I'm like, way too much for me, right? And so the more elaborate a knitting project is, or the more elaborate the handiwork project, the more parts of your brain you have to engage. But even if you can just get into the rhythm of something simple, you're going to have tremendous benefits for your brain.
The other kind of cool thing, one of my kids went to a school where they teach you knitting at second grade.
Yes, yes.
And they do that, from what I understand, because you learn from a young age that you can make something out of nothing, right? Like you learn you are powerful enough to change your environment. There was a bunch of string. I made a sock, mm-hmm. and now there's a sock in the world, right? And just that that feeling of I can affect my world in a positive way it's a great thing to learn from a young age, that to feel that you can make a difference or make the world a better place. Or it's even more basic than that. Like I can change the world in some way. So that's just another little perk. Like everyone needs socks.
That's right. And we all need socks.
Right.
And more of them over time, for sure.
Yeah.
As we lose them or they get holes in them.
Right.
The other thing that I want to say is that what a lot of people don't understand or don't know is that your longest term memory in your brain is actually kinesthetic memory. So, for example, you might be 70 years old, but if you learned how to ride a bicycle when you're a little kid, you have that muscle memory. And as you mentioned, teaching knitting in schools, some schools, I understand, have students knit while learning because mm-hmm. it'll help them improve their memory. So many handicrafters will be listening to music or listening to lectures, and it helps them improve their memory because, again, they're activating both sides of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I knit through the entire pandemic on every meeting. Every meeting it's how I could sit there. And, you know, and Jen, my co-founder, the same thing. She will often say how in college she was always knitting. And people who aren't knitters wouldn't necessarily understand that it's actually helping to process the information better, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take another break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author, and we're listening to Macy Kaplan, co-founder of looseends.org. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Macy Kaplan, you mentioned that you feel that one of the problems that Loose Ends tends to solve is the issue of loneliness. As a medical intuitive healer, a lot of times I'm doing a medical intuitive reading with an individual and they're presenting with depression or anxiety, but the core issue is actually loneliness. And then I talk to them about spirit, what I refer to as spiritual family, which is finding close people who were spiritually aligned and connected with, and also spiritual community, which is like-minded people. So when you're in a quilting group or knitting group or any kind of handicraft group, you're in a community of like-minded people. How does Loose Ends empower others to find spiritual community?
I think that there are the crafting groups where finishers may already know each other and they meet up regularly, quilting groups, knitting groups, crochet, weaving. That has always happened. I don't think we're not affecting that. That has existed already. That happens at libraries and places of worship all the time. And it already has. And in fact, finishing quilts for other people isn't something that we invented either. You know, I mean, we made a tool for people to meet when they don't know someone who can do that for them. But quilters especially have done that forever for each other. I think the loneliness that we try to help alleviate is more one-on-one loneliness, like an individual who is often grieving can reach out and be paired with someone from their community who cares about them, right? They're going to be communicating weekly or every couple of weeks through email. We hear people get together for coffee. They'll have progress reports and show and tell and all throughout while a project's getting finished. And then afterward, when it's returned, we hear a lot of times that people remain friends, right? They're going to continue to get together. So I think that the result of a matchmaking type, the things that Loose Ends does, is more that kind of one-on-one, but times 5,000, right? So it's more of like a one-on-one connection that we're making between people, not always becoming friends, but we hear that it happens a lot. And we've also learned of people becoming interested in craft when they weren't before, because they have inherited this partially finished project that has been finished. We've heard that people then will connect with yarn knitting groups and crochet groups. But I would say that we're sort of on the micro micro loneliness versus or micro connection, one-on-one kind of thing. But that said, crafting groups are such an amazing way to connect with community. Like, it is, in my opinion, the knitters that I know are the most friendly people. Like, you can walk up, you can be in a, how many times have I been in like an airport or a train station and you see someone knitting and you're immediately friends with them. Like, you, there's no way you will walk by without commenting on what they're making or asking a question about it, right? It's the easiest way. Separate from having a puppy, I think it's the easiest way to meet somebody, because you're, if you're the knitter and someone asks you about it, we all want to talk about what we're making, right? And who we're making it for. And likewise, if you see someone knitting in public, it's such an easy, like, wow, what are you making? Like, it's just a natural curiosity. We all want to see what each other are doing. And so in that sense, I think that, I think crafting in public, I highly recommend. I just highly recommend.
So Macy Kaplan, you're the co-founder of looseends.org. Where is Loose Ends headed next? And how can people support or be part of your wonderful work?
Oh, thanks for that question. Where we're headed next, we are slowly growing. Finishers sign up every day. More and more projects get submitted every day. We were funded early on by a company, Joann's Fabrics. I don't know, they are not from the UK, but they went out of business in February last year. So with that, a lot of our funding disappeared. So it set us back a little bit, slowing us down a little bit, but we're still strong and we're still growing in the right direction. Anyone who wants to support us is welcome to sign up on our website. We have lots of ways to volunteer, even if people are not textile crafters. We have volunteer opportunities in all kinds of different ways. Researchers, people to show up at events with us or on our behalf, people who can help us with press. We have our tech team, which is amazing, who built our app free of charge, that has allowed us to even do this work. So people who know Ruby on Rails are welcome to help out. Of course, anyone is welcome to donate to our nonprofit. We're almost exclusively run by donations. That's there at looseends.org. There's lots of ways if people want to be part of this. There's all kinds of fun ways to connect. So I would just say, if anyone's interested, just visit our website and reach out, and we can kind of plug you in where you want to be.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. Our guest today, Macy Kaplan, co-founder of looseends.org. And remember, you can tie up the loose ends of grief and improve your brain function through handiwork and the healing power of making things by hand. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.